first and foremost. Congratulations on your win last week. It's probably screwed up your entire week off, hasn't it?
Nah, it's been okay. Thanks. How are you, John?
I'm doing great. You know, you tossed me the ball that went in on the last hole for the win, and I brought it home with me. I'm thinking about auctioning it off.
You probably won't get much for it.
How's your week off been? I'm sure it's been hectic. Everybody wants a minute or two of your time.
Yeah, it's been a little hectic, but it was fun. After I got done with all the press stuff on Sunday, me and my caddy drove back to Raleigh. It took 5.5 hours, so we got home late. But that was fine. Then I got up at 6 in the morning with my kids, and they were all excited and took them to school, and then I crashed for the rest of the day.
I understand. That's not exactly a great victory celebration, to hop in the car and drive 5.5 hours.
I know. I wish it could have been better, but it was good enough for me.
Well, you know, if you could do this 2 or 3 times a year, then you could have a jet waiting for you down there at Hilton Head to take you home.
I know, but I'd like to have a few bucks left over when I'm done playing.
I want to ask you, I didn't get a chance to ask you this. How big a factor was that you'd played so well at Houston not to get in the Masters, to come right back and win in your very next start? Were you motivated by the fact that you didn't get to tee it up at Augusta?
Yeah, a little bit, I think, deep inside. But I knew I was playing well, and it's sometimes hard to carry that play over from week to week. You know, mm-hmm. It doesn't always happen. But I knew in practice earlier that week I was playing well, and in the tournament I played good. And I knew Saturday night I knew I was playing really well. But I didn't want to put too much pressure on myself going into Sunday, so I kind of played it off a little bit to my wife and told her, you know, whatever happens, happens. But I knew deep inside I was hitting the ball well, and I was just fortunate to keep it going on Sunday.
Well, you certainly did. I mean, it looked like it was over, probably in our minds, long before it was over in your minds. Was there a point in there where you felt like, okay, I'm good now?
Yeah, on 7. Once I hit the green on 17, which is real late in the round, but I figured I could handle it from there. But, you know, in golf, there's some crazy stuff that's happened before, people with big leads blowing them on the last few holes. So you never know. It's not over until it's over in this game.
Isn't that the truth? You played with Colt Knost, who is a really good young player. And I thought playing well on Saturday with you in the final group, he may be able to handle the situation on Sunday. He didn't handle it badly. He played well enough to finish in the top three, which was great, but not as well as he wanted to. Was there a time in your career that you remember being in that situation and having to chalk it up to a learning experience by the end of the day?
Yeah, I remember I was doing well in the Honda Classic in 2004 and was leading on Saturday and actually 5-putted a hole, I think the 16th hole, and it kind of rattled me. I wasn't the same for the next day, but you always learn from your you learn how you react under pressure and what to do. And Colt's a good player. He's a great player. He's a real player. He hits good shots, different shots, and he's got an excellent short game. So I'm sure he'll learn from this experience, and he'll be a better player from it.
Well, and he keeps his card, I think, as you probably remember from 04. When you keep your card and you've never done that before, that in itself is an accomplishment.
Yeah, exactly, because it gives you confidence to know that you can keep your card, and then when you come out and play next year, you don't have to worry about re-ranks and, you know, what tournaments you like to play. You can pick a schedule, which is a big deal, to pick in a schedule instead of playing wherever you get in.
Well, your schedule just changed a little bit.
Yeah.
The Bridgestone is now on it. There's a lot of tournaments on it now that may have been in question before. You should get into the U.S. Open top 50 in the world, I believe. I mean, you pretty much have – I'm sure you've spent some time this week realizing that you have to change your schedule a little bit.
Yeah, I've sat down and reshuffled it a little bit. I'm still going to play quite a bit of golf. I tend to play 28 to 30 events a year, which is quite a lot nowadays. But I really enjoy playing and competing, and with this win has given me, you know, a chance to play in the U.S. Open and the British Open and some of the world events. So it's really opened some doors, which is nice.
Well, and they've been open before. They certainly have. Talk about your relationship with Grant Berry, your caddy?
We've been together for 10 years. We've got a great relationship, really. You know, obviously there's been some good and bad times, but more good times. When you spend so much time together, you do get on each other's nerves. And once in a while, you know, we'll tell each other to go somewhere where
you don't have to say it. We know
where the sun doesn't shine, but you know, it might be me, it might be him, but we know it's all business, and we're a great team, and we've been together for 10 years, and you know, he's been a big part of some of our success, and we've become great friends too.
Yeah, he's such a good guy. I mean, I have trouble picturing either one of you guys actually being irritated. You're both so laid back.
Well, we're fairly laid back, but yeah, there's some heated moments here and there. But overall, he's a great guy. He's funny. He's probably the funniest guy I've ever met.
Yeah, he is funny and relentless in that regard. I would think on occasion.
Yeah, I actually when I won on Sunday, I hugged him and I told him, "You got the bag for next week." I said, "You still got the bag for next week." When I was hugging him on 18.
That's awesome. You think Bubba said that on 10 the week before?
I doubt it.
Oh, that is tremendous. Are you tired yet of answering questions about the Ryder Cup with the new changes that you have to be a member of the European Tour? I've loved what you said. You said, look, I'm not willing to go over there and chase, you know, 3 months on the European Tour in hopes of making the team. And that makes perfect sense to me. But you know, obviously, if you continue to play this way, they're going to have to consider you, aren't they?
Well, yeah, it's still a long ways out, but hopefully I can keep playing well and maybe get a pick. But, yeah, going over there, I have to play 13 events over there to stay a member, and I have to play a bunch of events over here. I just don't think it's just – I think it ends up equaling to poor play, that much travel and playing different places. I'd rather concentrate on one tour and play it. Well, the PGA Tour is the best tour in the world. I'd rather play, just concentrate and try to do as well as I can over here. And if I'm playing good, hopefully I get picked. If not, no big deal. I'd love to be on the team, but, you know, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
You know, we wouldn't mind if you wanted to be on our team.
Well, I am an American citizen now, but the Ryder Cup is all based on where you're born, and I was born in Sweden, so I'd have to play for the European side.
Yeah, unlike the President's Cup, which apparently doesn't care in Aaron Baddeley's case.
Because, oh, really?
I don't know if you're aware of this, but he was born in New Hampshire.
Oh, that's right. I think he told me that, yeah.
Yeah, but he is what he is. He's an Aussie through and through. He talks like one. We'll let him be an Aussie. Let's talk about your comments that got so much play this week about beer and ice cream, because you know those are both near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I was just kind of joking, and I think they took it more seriously than what I meant it to be. But, yeah, I lost a bunch of weight in 09 trying to get fit, and kind of lost my swing. And somebody asked me, how'd you gain the weight back? And I said, well, it's easy. 10 beers right before you go to bed and a tub of ice cream. And you put it back on in about a week. But,
and, golf writers are not known for their senses of humor.
Yeah, that's true. And I think they took it a little bit on the serious side. But putting the weight on is easy. Anybody can put weight on. It's losing it, so that's the hard bit.
Isn't that the truth? One of the things that impresses me about you is that in terms of your work ethic in golf tournaments and when you're home, you've earned the respect of the people around you as a very hard worker. You don't come off that way when you're on TV. You look like you're just sort of loping around, but you put a lot of time and effort into this, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I secretly, I love golf. You know, I love practicing. I love trying to get better. I love playing. That's what I've dreamt to do when I was a kid, and that's the only thing I know how to do. And I enjoy it every day. I try to go out there and practice and play and get better, and it's fun. It can be hard work sometimes when the game doesn't feel great and you're not playing good, but it's all worth it when it all comes together.
Now, are Charlie and Chase, are they becoming little golf rats? Are they at the golf course with you?
Yeah, they like to come up. They last about 30 minutes, and then they like to drive the cart, and I usually find one of them in the bunkers, and then they want to go get a hot dog and M&Ms and stuff. So they like it. They're still a little too young to to hang in there, but yeah, they're showing signs of interest. I'm not gonna push it at all because I don't think that's a good way of going about it. But they like everything, but they do like golf too.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I wish I could get my kids to play more, but they stopped listening to me a couple of years ago. That's going to happen to you at some point, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they don't really listen to me as it is. Right? The only person that listens to me is Grant Barry. That's sometimes he doesn't even listen either.
I understand that. What's your schedule look like over the next few weeks? Obviously, you told me earlier today you're teeing it up next week.
Yeah, I'm going to New Orleans. Charlotte, well, I'm not sure about Charlotte. I might actually have to skip Charlotte. My wife's going out of town, so I might have to stay home and watch the kids, which is a shame. But
well, you could use this as ammunition for her. You could become the first player to win the Carolina Slam.
That's right.
And nobody's won all three tournaments in the Carolinas. You, Davis Love, Brant Snedeker, you all have – RBC and Wyndham, but I don't think anybody's has all three.
That's right. That's right. Oh, well, I'm going to have to wait one more year, I think. And then I'm playing the Players Byron Nelson Colonial Memorial.
That's a long stretch.
So then I don't know what I'm doing after that. The U.S. Open's coming off, and I haven't got that far yet.
You tend to play your best golf on hard golf courses. Any idea why?
I don't know. Maybe I focus better. I really don't know. Maybe I just concentrate a little bit better because I know it's hard. And, I don't really know. I wish I knew.
Is it more fun to win by five than it is to win by one?
It's fun either way, but it's nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking either way. Winning is just fun. There's nothing better. It's a great feeling knowing that you won and you – it's more of a relief, really, because you got so much pressure on you, and when it's all over, it's more of a relief than anything.
Yeah, I totally understand. I want to ask you one last question before I let you go, and it's about the putt that you had to shoot 59 a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, were you thinking about it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I birdied 17. I told Grant, it's like one more and we'll do it. And hit a good drive and a good six iron in there. And I remember right before I hit the putt, I was like, I got to give this a go. I can't leave it short. And I hit a good putt. I hit the left side of the hole and lipped out. But I was pretty pleased with 60, believe me. But it would have been cool to shoot 59, but I was glad they had taken 60 on the first tee, let me tell you.
Well, I've had this conversation with other players, and I never came close to shooting 59. And I've had players say I hit the perfect putt, and it didn't go in. And I've had other players say, I was thinking about it, and I choked my brains out. How many people get a chance to shoot 59?
Yeah, it was the weirdest round of golf ever. I was actually one over par through four holes and then just kept reeling off birdies and eagles, and all of a sudden it just happened.
Well, I tell you what, we wish you continued success, a second at Houston, a win at RBC, and now off to New Orleans. If you don't eat too much down there, which you can do, that golf course should set up well for you down there as well.
Yeah, I love playing in New Orleans. It's a fun city. It's a fun golf course, and I look forward to seeing all of you guys down there.
And the best pro-am of the year.
Oh, yeah, they got food on every hole. So.
Food on every single hole from a different restaurant in town. Carl, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes.
No problem, John. Happy to do it. See you soon.